Luzardo ready. The 1-1 on the way. Swung on, blasted high in the air, left center field and deep. Kepler on the track at the wall, and it is gone. And Romy Gonzalez with a grand slam has turned the game around for the Red Sox.
Well, there it was last night. Scott Fransky on the call. Romy Gonzalez, a grand slam off of Jesus Luzardo to put the Red Sox up 6-5. Luzardo just fell apart last night. Tom Kelly in for Joe Giglio. This is the Midday Show. We are broadcasting live from the NovaCare Complex. 94 WIP's Champ Camp, driven by Forest River RV, by Camping World, RV sales, service, parts, and accessories. So we are down here at Champ Camp. Jordan Mailata, Jeremiah Trotter Jr., they will join us after practice today. But yeah, that was last night, Hugh. Phils get off to a great start.
Pretty good start, man. They had a nice little cushion. What was it, 4-0?
5-0.
Yeah.
5-0 lead. And then Luzardo, man. Guy's a no-hitter going into the fifth, and he just totally falls apart in that fifth inning, and Phils lose 9-7-11 last night.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the only positive you could take out of that is that they fought back. They fought to try to win the game. It was tough. It was a tough last night.
Well, it was nice to see JT Realmuto hit a homer off a lefty, which hadn't happened since last September. So good to see that. But the Phils lose. And Luzardo getting a little concerning. I mean, the way he has struggled lately. And it really all started at the end of May when he had that game against the Brewers where he gave up something like 12 runs in three innings or something like that. But it all fell apart for him again last night. Here was Luzardo after the game talking about what happened.
Yeah, clearly, you know, it's not working. So, working tirelessly at seeing what we got to do to fix it. Like you said, you know, it's been over a month now, and the first 12 starts were incredible in the sense that there was never a problem. And then now, the last whatever it is, it's always been an issue. So, out of the windup clearly isn't the problem. It's when we get in the stretch. So, I feel like other teams know that. So, yeah, just back to the drawing board in terms of that and, you know, working with Caleb and Mark and seeing what we can do. But, you know, there's no one, you know, I'm working day and night trying to figure it out. So it's something that needs to get fixed, and it needs to get fixed now.
I got to say, I've pretty much lost all faith in Luzardo at this point. I mean,
yeah, he had a rough one.
What worries me is just the way he gets in his own head. And I didn't like after last start. Did you hear about the thing where he goes in middle of the inning and shaves his mustache?
I didn't hear about that, but that's he's in a little bit of a crisis.
That's
trying
a sign.
To change something. Yeah, that's a sign of crisis.
Yeah, that's a sign somebody's in their own head right there.
Yeah, yeah.
What are you doing in the middle of a game, shaving your mustache?
Yeah, that's a lot. That's a lot that makes people kind of wonder what the hell's going on in your head. But, yeah, he's clearly not the guy that he was a few weeks ago. And, yeah.
would you like to take a victory lap, Hugh?
Nah. Okay. No, I'm trying to be an adult about
Come
these
on,
situations.
Hugh.
No, we're being adult about these situations.
Hold on, no, I told you so no over fun. Everything
well,
else.
No, listen, but the logic that I had for putting him in the bullpen was strictly based off of what Ranger wasn't going to do in Ranger's contract situation. Luzardo has been, well, at one point he was pitching well, and now he's not. But as we move through this and we're looking to – you know, piecemeal this bullpen and figure things out, it makes sense for him to be a bullpen piece because in short spurts, he looks like he's a lot better. So that's where we are with this. This is about winning a World Series. It's not about being right or wrong. It's about trying to win a World Series.
Yeah, well, we're just trying to give you your credit, Hugh. I mean, you're the baseball guy here on the show.
Unlike some of my cohorts, I choose to take the high road.
High road Douglas.
I choose to take the high road more.
But
trying to be mature in this 10-2 space.
No, you're not.
You're the baseball guy on the show, Hugh. You deserve the credit for this.
Well,
You had the foresight.
It all depends on what the conversation's about. Now, certain conversations I choose to be mature about, but others, then I'll be childish.
Yeah, well,
a little bit more childish.
Either way, I want to get your take on how worried you are about Jesus Luzardo, because I'm really concerned. And the thing that worries me more than anything is now, like before, I think we were looking at Aaron Nola, mm-hmm. and it was like, okay, well, if you get Nola back and he pitches well and he can start a playoff game for you, great, but you don't really need him. I kind of think you need him now. Like, I don't feel good about the prospect of needing to start Luzardo in a game four of a playoff series. Or, I mean, say you have to win, you have to play the wild card series. Mm-hmm. You'd have to start Luzardo in game one or two of that following series. So now, like, Nola coming back and being good, it really matters now because you probably need him for the playoffs.
You know, it's just funny to think. I remember the thing that I think when I think of Nola is a guy that he'll give you a couple innings where he's a little rocky, and then when he settles in, he's pretty clutch. He's pretty pretty clutch. So that's what you got to watch. See, that was uncalled for.
It was
like
very
that
called for. Yeah.
Couldn't spit it out. Spit it out! But, yeah, he's played can't do it again. Pretty clutch.
That was poetic justice right there, Hugh. I mean, that was destiny.
Kyle sometimes.
and the ambiguity.
Kyle's in your head just like, you know.
No, nah, man.
Lazardo's in his own head right now.
But he's probably going to end up in the bullpen.
Yeah, he's got to go to the bullpen and maybe can give you value there. But even in the bullpen right now, like the way Lizardo seems like, I don't want to call him mentally soft because obviously, I mean, going out and pitching is a really tough job.
And it's, yeah.
But when things go wrong, man, I don't feel good that he can kind of corral
out of him.
Like you look at a guy like Ranger or Christopher Sanchez. Okay, they'll give up a couple runs or they'll
even
get
Nola.
In trouble.
Nola has that mentality as well.
Yeah,
he has that mentality a little bit.
Yeah, well, Nola's got a little bit of Lizardo in him too. You know, with the home runs and letting things spiral out of control. Hmm. Not to the same degree that we've seen from Lizardo, but I don't feel great about what he's going to give even in the pen right now, but. It seems like that's probably what the future is going to be for him in the postseason.
I think that's a little unfair to Nola. I think he's got more stones than that. Like we've seen Nola unravel in like an inning or two before, but he can push through and get it together.
Yeah.
and give you a nice long outing.
See, I'm not a Nola guy.
Yeah, I know. I feel the TK hate. I feel a little bit of hate.
Fake ace. I mean, he's just he's a fine pitcher.
Nobody thinks he's an ace anymore. You're fighting a battle that nobody else is on the other side of.
I'm fighting a battle that I've already won.
Well, sure.
See, there was an argument for a while, Kyle, that he was an ace.
I know, but now you're shooting them while they're already in the grave.
Well, I mean, at this point, we don't even know if Nola's going to be like a viable pitcher when he comes back.
I think he will be.
Even before he got hurt, he was not pitching well this year.
Well, but wasn't he kind of? I think the idea was that he was dealing with something in the beginning of the season. That's why he was pitching poorly.
Broken rib.
I don't know about that.
We had an ankle thing.
Yeah, but before that, there was a month before he had the ankle thing.
But that's what Kyle is saying. Is he probably was dealing with that.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, I don't know.
It's a month before we knew about the ankle thing.
Right. Well, I'll choose to believe
it. It ain't like this training staff has had they haven't had any glowing endorsements this year. They've kind of missed the boat on a few things this year.
Yeah, maybe a little late. I mean, with Nola, certainly letting him pitch after they knew the ankle thing, whenever it happened, that was a mistake for sure. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. But your thoughts on Lizardo last night, how worried are you about him? And with the Eagles, do you think they need to be more of a pass-heavy team this year as we move forward and the league adjusts? And I think, you know, the point that Kyle made earlier is one that is really interesting. Because I think it's easy to get guys to buy in for 1 year. Like AJ, Devontae, and Devontae's never going to come out and really say anything publicly. But last year, it was a one-year thing. They were paid. You know, I think it was easier to sacrifice numbers. I think it's going to be tough, Hugh, for those guys to sacrifice numbers again this year. I think they're going to want the ball a little bit.
I think there's going to be opportunities for that. I think that what's going to happen is you have to maximize your catches. And what I mean by that is I think that there's a chance that there's going to be a lot of yards after the catch, run after the catch, whatever you want to call it. And they're going to have to capitalize on that. I just can't see that this team is going to come out and just start throwing it all over the schoolyard all of a sudden, and you've had so much success with the run game. And to be honest, everything sets up off the run game. Because teams are going to have to play those linebackers closer. They're going to have to play the safeties closer because the threat of Saquon being there. So there might be some plays over the top that you'll be able to make, but you're not going to be able to abandon the run altogether. I don't think that's going
to
happen.
No, and that's not what I want them to do either. I just think it's going to need to be a little more of a mix this year. 215-592-9494. Let's go to Jeff in Wilmington. What's up, Jeff?
What's up, guys?
What's up, Jeff?
So, Phillies, Eagles. Well, Eagles first. They have to pass a little bit more because I think teams are going to be keying on the run based on what the Chiefs did. So, I just don't think they have to do it for the sake of doing it. That seems like what, I don't know. That seems like what you're saying, TK. I'm not really sure.
No, that's correct, well, maybe I'm not explaining it well enough then, Jeff. That's not what I'm saying at all. I'm not saying they need to come out and just air the ball out just to air the ball out. I just think defenses are going to be more effective against this running game this year. You know, I think with a full offseason to study up on what exactly the Eagles are doing, how they were able to run the ball so effectively this year, I just think it's going to be more difficult for them to do it. And I think if the plan is, okay, well, we're just going to come out and do the same thing we did last year, I just don't think it's going to work as well.
That's fair enough. I mean, like I said, they're going to have to do something different only because other teams are going to be keying on the run a little bit more. As far as the Phillies, how are you going to put Lizardo in the bullpen? I mean, if he's having trouble pitching out of the stretch. I mean, if you want to put him in there as a opener, but I don't trust that guy right now.
No, and that's the problem, Jeff. I don't think there is, like, a perfect fit for him. I don't know if he's a guy that could pitch all that effectively out of the bullpen, but I'll tell you this. I just don't think he's a guy right now that I trust starting a playoff game. I mean, you can't rely on him to go out there and give you 5-6 innings, because what we've seen recently is as the game goes on, I mean, eventually he's going to have that one inning where he kind of blows up a little bit.
He's got to be the guy that goes in when it's low leverage, like when you got a big lead or when you need mop up, until he can get himself straight with the with his pitcher from the stretch, because 50 or 60% of the time when you come into a game as a reliever, you're going to be pitching out of the stretch.
Yeah, no, I agree, Jeff, and appreciate the call. And I think that's something the Phillies need to recognize as well, because I know, or it seems like part of their philosophy as we lead up to the trade deadline with the bullpen is, well, we'll move some of our starters to the bullpen. John Middleton had talked about that last week. But, I mean, you can't just count on that, because you don't know if these guys are going to be able to be effective in that role.
Yeah, but that's what you're hoping for. You're hoping for, because we're in a situation now when you're talking about the trade deadline right around the corner, that you're not going to be able to fill every void that you're trying to fill. So now you're going to have to probably try to piecemeal this thing together, and guys' roles are going to change. Who was it? Was it the year the World Series? What was it when Brett Myers went to the bullpen? Was that the year?
That was the year before.
Okay, the year before. Yeah. But you know, he was one of those guys that was started. He had to move to the bullpen. It's one of those things where you're trying to get more bang for your buck. I know I've said that before, and that's what it looks like, because you're trying to get arms, and if you get one arm, you're probably going to need a few, especially when you talk about the guys you trust in that bullpen. And in a short series or a short sampling size, I think he would probably be beneficial in the bullpen.
Yeah, and I just don't want them to feel like, oh, well, we got these starters. We signed David Robertson. And, I mean, David Robertson's 40 years old.
He was on the couch chilling. Hold my beer.
I mean, I know he threw the ball well last year, but he wasn't great the last time he was here. I just don't want them to look at it and think, oh, well, we don't need to go out and get bullpen pieces because we have these other options. I don't think you can just rely on that. I mean, I think that's part of the solution. I just don't think it can be the entire solution. Let's go to Ryan in Wilmington. What's up, Ryan?
Hey, what's up, TK? How you doing? Yeah, what's up, Kyle?
What's up,
How you doing,
man?
Guys?
What's up, Ryan?
I mean, Lizardo, that's going to be tough. Actually, I was just watching the game with my buddies last night, and they, none of them have any faith in him. I mean, he goes 5 innings, he starts out hot, and then as soon as he gives up a hit or two, it's like, I mean, it's done. It's over. And it's a shame, because, I mean, there's nothing that Rob can really do. We don't have any relief. As soon as we put a reliever in, the game's over anyway. So, I mean, it's a tough situation, but he's going to be an X factor. Whether he's in the bullpen or a starter, there's going to be a situation in the playoffs where he's really going to have to step up, like, for sure.
Yeah, and who knows, Ryan? I mean, maybe it is a situation where you bring him in the playoffs, and he can be a one-inning guy, and you just tell him, hey, just go out there, throw 98, throw 99, give everything you have, and maybe he's effective in that role. It's hard to know. It's hard to know without having seen it first. I mean, maybe the answer is you move him to the bullpen in September or something and let him get, you know, some
test
reps
it out.
There. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And then with Jalen and Saquon in the run game, I mean, you said it. I mean, every game, no matter what, they had the best offensive line, one of the best running backs, probably the best running back in the league. You're going to establish the run every time regardless. I mean, I don't know how many people are going to stop it. I don't know how much game plan you can really do. I mean, you can't really get too cute with this offense. I think Jalen Hurts is a stud. I know the slander always happens at 94-1. Some people feel this, some people feel that. I mean, and everybody always brings it up. But, I mean, in the Super Bowl, Spags absolutely shut down Saquon. What did Jalen do? What did he do?
He was incredible in the Super Bowl.
He was asking you to here. He wasn't talking.
No, I'm saying he was great in the Super Bowl, the championship game.
I don't know why he can't do that.
I'm not a Jalen slanderer.
No, I understand. Okay, I know it's not always you, but like,
you could not separate himself from me. Like we're both in the RV right now, but like figuratively, Hugh was all the way like 100 miles.
I'm just saying, man.
He's talking to you. I don't want any piece of this.
Yeah, talking to me.
I mean, I don't understand why you can't do that, but all. I mean,
I get it, Ryan.
We'll see how it goes.
Appreciate the call, man. Thanks. I don't know. Would you characterize me as a Jalen slanderer?
No.
Haters, both of you.
shut up, Kyle.
You know what?
Is Kyle a slanderer?
The peanut guy.
No.
Kyle is grounded in his truth. Live his truth.
He speaks his truth.
Yeah. I mean, and listen.
The truth.
I am a champion of speaking your truth. So I'm not mad. If me and Kyle, we don't agree on most things, but he's entitled to his opinion. I don't agree with it. And I think that's how most of the people that work here are. They have their opinions. They believe what they believe. And that's fine. And I think that's what makes the station so great.
But encouraging people to live their truth is.
Live their truth, Kyle.
But Hugh, that's what got us that phone call yesterday.
No, but Kyle.
Which was.
Great radio.
What phone call?
Was it great radio?
We're going to have to show this to TK later.
But was it great radio, though?
Oh, it was hilarious. And that's why I put it through. I mean, he told me what he wanted to talk about. I let him live his truth on the air. But we can't act like it's not a dangerous thing.
Well, I guess in this social climate right now, it could be. But isn't it entertaining?
Of course.
Like, it's very entertaining.
Absolutely it is.
The best was during that call when Ryan had kind of thrown out his response. Hugh, you wanted no part. You're just like, he's talking to you, TK. This is not for me. This is for you, man. You're the Jalen hater.
This is what usually happens. Because yesterday, it happened with Joe when Art called in and talked to Joe. Like, because that's one of those conversations where it doesn't help to have two, three voices going back and forth.
Right.
Because that's – Joe's over here perplexed, wondering how did Art get to the conclusion that he got to.
Yeah. Just wait, TK. I'm
excited for
so
Art later.
There's no need for me. Only thing I'm doing is adding background.
Okay.
Background music for that. Because there ain't no need. Because Joe's over here. He's about to blow his stack. And Art's doubled down, and he's tripled down, and he's dug in. Let them have it.
I can't
let them cook.
I can't wait to hear this call later. let him cook.
Let him cook.
Let's go to Aaron in San Diego.
Aaron. What's up, Aaron?
Good morning, Philadelphia.
Did you lose your voice, Aaron?
Hugh, I'm supposed to be on the phone with insurance. Oh boy. What's that, honey? No, it's insurance, honey. No, I'm not on the phone.
Allowed to call.
Creepy radio guy. No, I told you I wouldn't do that anymore.
This is a bad bit. Oh, my gosh. It's awful. Bad bit.
Hey, I got two developments, Hugh, on the smoking hot wife issue.
How about you start with the Eagles first?
The first development is I developed a welt the size of a baseball on the back of my neck after the wife got done with me yesterday after that phone call. And then the second thing is the smoking hot wife is soon to be the smoking hot ex-wife. So thank you so much, Hugh, for that.
See,
that
wait
was
a minute.
Entirely your fault.
What did I do? What you mean? How's
no,
it
Aaron,
you,
no,
you asked for a
Aaron's
picture
fault.
Of Aaron's wife, right?
I didn't ask. What?
So you know, okay, sorry.
Okay, just so you know, there are two types of Hugh Douglas. Hugh wants to throw the word friends around like you do, like yes, no, like just like an average thing. But there is the radio Hugh. And then there's the Twitter Hugh. The Twitter Hugh doesn't follow you, doesn't comment on posts, you know, that you send them unless they're like, you know, over the line. You know, there's no interaction there. So I don't know the friendship thing.
Wait a minute.
I don't
Aaron,
know, dude.
First and foremost, I apologize for the scathing comments I made because I didn't know, and I will follow you. I interact with a lot
wanna,
of people.
You don't want to do that.
But yeah, don't.
You didn't come. I sent you a photo of the wife yesterday. You didn't get it.
I didn't get it. I apologize. I didn't get it because I haven't I've been on Twitter, but I haven't really been checking it. But I apologize. I thought we were friends.
What about the Eagles?
Kyle, I don't do this. People do this to me. You know, I got.
What about
Chris
yo, Aaron? What about
yeah,
the
Aaron? Aaron, come on. We got to move along here. We got Jordan Mailata and Jeremiah Trotter Jr. coming up.
Gotcha. So, Hugh, as a defensive player, okay?
Yes.
when you have, when you're facing a team, do you want a team that's predictable, or do you want a team, do you want a team that's going to keep you on your toes?
Team that keeps you on your toes, usually the ones that are harder to beat, because like, you don't know what they're going to do. They get away from their tendencies.
The Kyle Quinn statement, like they're gonna put on the Super Bowl and they're gonna figure out, you know, how to beat the Eagles. And I mean, that's the most ludicrous statement that I've ever
heard. Yeah, you're
right.
No other NFL team has looked at tape to figure out how to stop another offense before. It's ludicrous.
Tell me, Kyle, how are you gonna stop the Eagles? You gonna stop Saquon Barkley? Well,
I'm telling you, that's how teams are gonna try to do it, Aaron.
Saquon Barkley's gonna jam it down your throat.
Aaron, we got to run. Practice is wrapping up. But yeah, I mean, teams are.
I just
followed
you on Twitter too, Aaron. So.
Yeah, that's a big mistake.
Yeah, that you're
going. Well, you know, I did ask the man to show pics up. Why? Y'all did make me feel like I was being a creeper.
I didn't hear Aaron's call yesterday. I just heard the follow up to it, so I didn't know all the context. But
I mean, and by the way, my friends called me and said I was not out of line.
Okay, well there you go.
I was not out of line. Okay. I was not out of line. He said smoking hot. I didn't say
it. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. Back to the phones coming up. We're going to sit down with Jordan Mailata, Jeremiah Trotter Jr. when practice ends. Elliot Shore Parks will join us later on for a recap of practice as well. And your calls. All that coming up. Tom Kelly, Hugh Douglas, this is the Midday Show. We are at training camp today, Champ Camp, 94 WIP's Champ Camp, driven by Forest River RV by Camping World. RV sales, service, parts, and accessories from the NovaCare Complex, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Sports Radio 94 WIP, Tom Kelly.
Starting to grow on me a little bit.
For Joe Giglio, it's catchy,
starting
isn't it?
Starting to grow on me.
I mean, everybody, at first you hear it, you think, oh, this is cheesy. But then you start to like it a little bit.
Yeah,
it's
we're a good ring to it. We're a little cheesy.
It's growing on me.
Yeah, it's nice.
There you go. Well, appreciate it, Kyle. We are broadcasting live from the NovaCare Complex, 94 WIP's Champ Camp, driven by Forest River RV by Camping World, RV sales, service parts, and accessories. Eagles wrapping up practice. This segment will be joined by Jordan Mailata and Jeremiah Trotter Jr. Interested to talk to those guys, Hugh, and interested to talk to Jordan about what he had to say yesterday about, you know, last year's behind him, looking forward, going into this year, and it really being kind of a different team. And again, we mentioned it earlier, but I think refreshing to hear guys talk so much about that and putting last year behind them and really looking toward next year, because I feel like, and I know it's a lot of different players from 2017, but in 2017, the whole training camp in 2018 felt kind of like an extension of the celebration. I'm glad these guys are looking at it differently than that team looked at it back then.
They're taking the lead at a quarterback, if you will. I mean, Jalen would probably be considered the more extreme person, you know, because a lot of people, I heard him talking, shout out to the afternoon show, they were talking about how he hadn't put his ring on and how people felt about that and talking about enjoy the moment and anything like that. I looked at it differently, and I think they are too, because think about it like this, Tom. I play with some hell of a players. But we didn't break through for whatever reason. You know, a lot of times it was because we didn't have the receiver core, or we didn't have certain things that allowed us to get over the top. And, you know, things happen. Not ashamed of that. It is what it is. It happened the way it happened. But when you talk about what Howie has been able to put together, man, and I think the key component is that all of these guys are in their prime. They're in their sweet spot. And they know that. And they're trying to capitalize on that. They're chasing greatness. That's the only way that I can describe it. Just sitting here and looking out the window and thinking about some of the things that Jalen has said and the way that he carries himself and what's being said about him. Yeah, that feels like that's what they're doing. They're chasing greatness.
Yeah, and moving to another year. And, you know, obviously a lot of things to monitor this year. And what we've been talking about today, do you think the Eagles need to change offensively? Do you think they need to evolve offensively, be more of a passing team this year? I do. Hugh doesn't necessarily feel that way. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. In a few minutes, we'll be joined by a few Eagles players. But first, let's go back to the phones. Go to Jack in Wilmington. What's up, Jack?
Hey, how you doing?
What's up, man?
I want to talk about, I mean, I think this whole Lizardo thing is being overplayed a little bit. I think we need to give him the respect that we saw the way he could pitch early in the season and give him a, like, a moment to fix this. And when we're talking about a fourth starter in the playoffs, you know, we have no idea what Nola is going to be. And to put our faith in him without seeing like what he can do when he comes back, like we get four, you know, no hit innings out of Lizardo, and then we move to the bullpen when we see, you know, any sign of sort of, you know, struggles in him. I mean, you can't ask for more than that.
Hasn't he been struggling the last couple outings he's had?
Well, yeah, but I mean, we still got a couple months before the playoffs.
Yeah, let me ask you this question. Let me ask you a question. Just
right now.
Let's workshop this a little bit. Out of the sampling size that we have of both pitchers, who do you feel gives you the best chance of having success out of what you know about both of these pitchers, Nola and Luzardo?
I'd take Luzardo right now. I mean, Nola could come back.
I guess I didn't say it in a way that you understood it. I said in the sampling size that we've seen from both pitchers, because Nola's been here longer, correct?
I mean,
Nola's been here longer.
I mean, wait a minute. Listen, I'm not trying to paint you in a corner. These are yes or no questions that I'm asking you, right? So I understand you might not feel the way that I feel, but I'm asking you yes or no questions. So, again, I'll ask you, out of the two pitchers, we have a better knowledge of what Nola brings to the table than we do Lizardo in the playoffs, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll ask you again.
That's true, but the, you know, as a manager, Rob Thompson is looking at.
Well, yeah, this is the thing, Jack.
What Nola's done in the past.
Well, Jack, I appreciate the call, but this is the thing with Lizardo. This is not. Like, this is a one-start overreaction. I mean, this has been over the course of the last 2 months.
Not only that, though.
More bad starts than good starts.
We are trying to figure out the pieces that we're going to need to make a World Series push, right? And as of right now, okay, take Bryce, for example. We all had a feeling that Bryce Harper at some point was going to be what he is now, or look like he's going to round into shape, right?
Right, because we have a track record. To indicate that's going to happen eventually.
Just like I was trying to get him to understand
right.
with Aaron Nola. So if I'm a manager, and if I that's the only thing that I have to go off of, and I'm trying to win a World Series, out of two guys that, one that I've known for a while, right, and one that I'm getting to know, in a time where we're past the halfway mark of the season, and you are showing me from your last couple of outings that you are trending in the wrong direction, right? But I know that with Nola, when he's out there, he might be a little rocky, but he settles down and he gets the job done. What do you think I'm going to do?
Right.
If I'm shaking the dice, what do you think I'm going to do?
You want the known over the unknown,
yes.
typically.
That's all I'm saying, bro.
Right. And, like, I'll just say this. Like, if I'm in the Philly shoes or I'm imagining what they're thinking, I would imagine their preference is for Aaron Nola to come back and pitch well so he can be the Game 4 starter over Lizardo because, like you said, they have a track record with Aaron Nola. They know what they're getting from him. And with Lizardo, I mean, this is not a small sample size now. Like, after his first couple starts where he really struggled – I don't know. I was kind of the mindset of let's give him a little time. Let's let him get it together. This is now a good 2 month run here where it's been more negative than positive.
That's the point. And you're in a situation now where you're trying to figure out rosters and you're trying to figure out how people are going to fit into what you're trying to accomplish. Yeah. Gotcha.
Yeah, absolutely. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. But Eagles practice has wrapped up for the day. They are done practicing, second day in the books. And now, coming into the trailer, we will be joined in a moment here by Jeremiah Trotter Jr., Eagles linebacker, joining us now. Tom Kelly, Hugh Douglas, as Jeremiah sits in and joins us now. Jeremiah, thanks for joining us, man. How was day two of practice today?
Yeah, it was great. You know, and again, thank you for having me. But it was great. You know, getting out there, competing, going back and forth with the offense. You know, just decided to get back in the film room today, see what today's work looked like, correct the mistakes, and get better tomorrow.
Yeah, and very, very good start training camp, Jeremiah. And I want to know from you, because obviously you have a role that could be a little different this year. Have you prepared any differently, knowing that your role might be bigger in this defense?
No, I feel like I try to prepare the same way I did last year. Try to get in a routine. even though, you know, my role was on special teams, helping out the team that way. You know, I took that to heart and tried to be the best special teams player I could be. And if my name was called, you know, making sure I was on my stuff to step in there and help the team. And I just try to prepare the same way I did last year, and just put in the work every single day, try to get better.
So how was your offseason, Trot, knowing that you have an opportunity to step in and make your mark? I mean, how did you prepare for this upcoming season?
I just took the same way I took my offseason last year, which was, you know, putting in work every day, taking it a day at a time in the weight room and on the field when I'm getting field work in. I try to just have the same mindset, you know, not make it bigger than what it is, and just try to prepare the same way that I would prepare, you know, like last year.
So my question to you is this. How much, because this is how I envision it, because, you know, I play with your pops, mm-hmm. and I know how intense he is. So when you come home from practice, I'm assuming that, you know, you talk to him a lot. How much do you lean on him for information and knowledge about the position and being here in Philadelphia and stuff like that? How much do you lean on him for that?
Yeah, I still try to – he's taught me so much up to this point, but I still try to after practice, I'll go over, you know, see what go over the practice film. I may send him a video or something, mm-hmm. to see what he thinks, you know, how I should have played it or how I could have played it, trying to get different input like that. I mean, I feel like I would be it'd be wrong of me not to use somebody that has 12 years of knowledge in the NFL, and I have him right at a phone call away to be able to, you know, use his insight and his knowledge that he's gained.
And Jeremiah, it's really an awesome story. I mean, I grew up watching your dad play linebacker for the Eagles. How cool is it that you get to play for the same organization, wear the same number? I mean, kind of a dream come true for you?
Yeah, man, it's really cool how it worked out. I thank God every single day for the opportunity to, one, be in the NFL, and then, two, be able to just play for the team my dad did. And I've been an Eagles fan my whole life. I didn't have to change my favorite team once I got drafted, so it's been great.
Yeah, and another guy you're obviously learning from is your defensive coordinator, Vic Fangio. We heard him talk this morning. Seems like a really interesting guy, Jeremiah. What's it like playing for Vic Fangio?
Man, it's really cool because, I mean, he has so much knowledge of the game. He's seen the game change over the years because different eras of football. So he's learned how to scheme up offenses, and I just know, like, he gives us different tips of how we can see certain plays coming. And I think that really helps the defense, and the defense guys play fast.
So my question to you is this. How was it that you guys were able to pick up his defense as fast as you were and implement what he taught you on the field as quickly? Because, man, I tell you, playing in the when we first got here, playing at Jim Johnson defense, it took us at least a year before we got to the point where we were comfortable in the defense. Why was it so easy for you guys to pick up this defense and thrive the way that you did?
Yeah, I feel like it was just reps. You know, we tried to get as many reps at just the fundamental coverages in our call.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't get too complicated in the beginning. We took it a day at a time, just trying to learn, you know. And even at first, you know, it was tough to learn. You know, there's a lot of ins and outs, different zone drops, different coverages that we run in Rick's scheme. But we really just tried to get a bunch of reps at it. Guys would, you know, practice on the field and then go home. We'd be going over plays, getting that extra work in the film room mentally. And, you know, over time, if you keep putting it in day in and day out, you know, you're going to be able to learn the scheme. You're going to get better at it.
Yeah, Jeremiah, one of the things that I think is cool about this defense is it's generally a younger defense. Like, you guys have a lot of younger players at all the different levels up front, in the middle, and certainly in the secondary. Cooper, Quinyon, all those guys. Quinyon was talking about it yesterday, all the youth on that defense. How kind of advantageous is it to have a bunch of guys kind of around the same age from a bonding perspective on that side of the ball?
Yeah, I mean, you obviously got that connection when you got guys around the same age. We got, you know, some older guys too that we can talk to and we connect with as well. But I think, you know, when you got young guys, you got guys that are hungry, guys that want to go out there and just run around and play football, play the game that they love. But, you know, I feel like the whole defense as a whole, we all really mesh together as a team. We got a lot of team chemistry, and everybody out there, you know, wants to do their part and be the best they can for the guy next to them.
And one of the older players on the defense, who obviously had a great year last year, Zach Bond, guy you mm-hmm. play next to. What have you learned from Zach Bond in your time with him?
I'd probably say, like, the type of routine that he has. He's a veteran now. He's been, you know, had the same routine, you know, that he's had all the way up to now, and he does it week in and week out, day in and day out. And, you know, I just try to learn from him, getting a routine. So I feel like if you get a routine and you stick to it, that's how you build consistency, and that's really big in this game, you know, being consistent, a consistent player.
Yeah, and as a linebacker, too, you know, obviously the guys up front help you a lot. What's it like playing behind number 98 up front?
Yeah, you know, it's great playing against, you know, playing behind JC. I mean, he's a great, talented guy. You know, I love playing against all the guys, JD, Mo. They all, you know, really hold those double teams for me, allow me to fly around and make plays, me and Zach. So I love my big guys up front.
Yeah, well, that's awesome.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, man, I know you probably don't remember this picture, but I just wanted to say that I'm very proud of you, and you know, you're part of the family, and we love you.
I appreciate that, man. Yeah. Love you, too.
Well, that's awesome. Jeremiah Trotter Jr. Jeremiah, thanks a lot for hopping on, man. Best of luck this year.
Thank you.
Yeah, awesome stuff. Jeremiah Trotter Jr. Joining us for a few minutes. And, yeah, I mean, great stuff. I mean, Hugh, you played with his dad for a long time. I grew up watching those teams. And just an awesome story to see Jeremiah, you know, here and thriving the way that he is. And winning the Super Bowl ring. I mean, I should ask him. Got to rub that in dad's face a little bit.
Well, yeah. I mean, but I think what Jeremiah Trotter Jr. has done, I mean, it's one of those things that I know his dad's proud of him, because we're all proud of him. Because, you know, we were a part of the foundation that was laid down to put him in a position to have that kind of success. And I know for Trot, I don't think I'm speaking out of turn to see his son be a part of the legacy that he started. He has to be a proud dad for that. That's phenomenal. It really, really is.
Well, it's a really cool story. And it's cool how, like, you know, you and Ike and Trot, like, you guys have kind of stuck together and stayed close over the years. And it really does speak to this organization, because they do prioritize family and they talk about, you know, that element of it. And I think with a guy like Jeremiah, you can really see it, especially, like, I mean, think back to that draft night when he was drafted, how genuinely emotional Jeffrey Lurie was to talk to him that night.
Man, listen, I tell you, the picture that I showed him was of me, my son, him, his brother, and Ike's kids. And you know, that's how close we are, mm-hmm. you know? So, yeah.
Yeah, no, and it's awesome. And that familial element of it is a really cool thing for this organization. It's an awesome story to see Jeremiah, you know, kind of following in his dad's footsteps the way that he is. And I think a guy who is going to be a real difference maker for this team this year. And obviously, kind of unfortunate the way the opportunity's coming about. You never want to see guys go down.
Yeah.
Nakobe Dean was such a good player for this team last year and a hard worker in his own right. But this is where, you know, having a guy like a Jeremiah Trotter Jr. sitting behind him, he'll get that opportunity this season. I'm excited to see what he does.
Yeah, can't wait to see what he does with it.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome to see. And, you know, just you can tell, a really good kid and a guy that every Eagles fan is rooting for, no question about it. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. We'll have Jordan Mailata coming up in a few minutes here. But first, let's go back to the phones. Go to Terrence in Springfield. What's up, Terrence?
Terrence!
Hugh, TK, Kyle, what's up, man?
What's up, Terrence? On,
man? Hey, Hugh, you didn't get no picture of no lock lizards or nothing today, man? No dimes?
Lock lizards? What are those?
Move on, Terrence.
I don't drive a pickup truck. I do drive a pickup truck. I don't drive a semi.
All right. what do you got, Terrence?
I was referring to the ugly wife, but you get me. You get me, though, man. I'm going to say right now, for Lizardo, this guy, to me, him and Nola are probably like the same player right now. So either one of those guys, you might as well bring Nola back, because you're probably going to be getting the same thing anyway. I'm a TK on this. I feel like Nola hasn't been pitching the best. He hasn't been pitching the best when he was in there before he got hurt. And I feel like that injury they were talking about was kind of a way to get him to get his head back in the game. Like, they say he got hurt, but we don't know about that, man.
Well, Terrence, no, I can. He was legitimately hurt with the ankle. Now, it's the question of when it happened. Now, they say it happened in Cleveland, and I believe that to be the case, or in Tampa originally, and he made his start in Cleveland. And I believe that to be the case, and that's the thing. Like, if that is the case, there was still a good month of baseball before that where he was not pitching well.
Yeah, man, and as for the Eagles, I feel like, I told Kyle, we're going to throw more, we're going to put the ball in Jalen's hands more, but I feel like Jalen is going to still keep the main thing like he always does. I still believe Saquon is going to get off some big – I believe we're going to throw the ball more, but I believe Saquon is going to still get off some big long runs. And coming off the RPO, and we all know Jalen Hurts brings that dual threat to the offense. I feel like they're going to put more in his hands. I feel like Jalen might run more. I feel like he's going to throw more. He's going to have a lot more one-on-one coverage with Devontae and AJ on the outside. So I feel like that's going to be huge come this season. And we know Petullo likes to throw the ball. Am I right?
Well, yeah, and no, Terrence, and that's the thing, man, and I appreciate the call. I just think there are going to be more opportunities to throw the ball because, you know, defenses, I just have a hard time believing that defenses are not going to key more on Saquon. I think that'll leave you more opportunities. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. But talking a lot about the Eagles today and whether they need to throw the ball or pass the ball more. And again, I just look at, you know, the way defenses are going to attack the Eagles offense, the way they're going to defend, I think they're going to key on the run more, and I think that's going to give them more opportunities to attack on the outside with AJ and Devontae. And I mean, those guys could be in for a huge year, Hugh.
Yeah, there's a possibility for that, because I think that, especially with the success that the Eagles had running the football, a lot of teams are going to try to gear up to stop the run. But if they don't have the personnel, they'll be liable against the pass. But there has to be that threat. It always has to be that threat. I remember going into the game, man, and coach said, hey, take away the run first, and then you get after the quarterback. But you got to take away the run. You have to make it so that they can't run the ball at all. And then that kind of plays into what you want to do. But you got to be strategic in the way that you do that. Because if a team loads the box on you, then you have to be able to throw the ball and throw it with some success. And it, once they start to back off, then that's when you start to bring the running game back into it. But it's going to be your identity right now. People are going to probably try to line up and stop you from running the ball.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think that is going to be the case. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. Let's go to Rob in Delco. What's up, Rob? Let's throw Rob back on hold there. Jordan Mailata will be joining us in a moment. And excited to talk to Jordan, Hugh. Obviously a guy who always has a lot of interesting things to say.
He has
a lot
of potty mouth.
Things to say yesterday. And, yeah, I mean, you got to like that, though, Hugh.
Jordan
wears his emotions on his sleeve. You're that kind of a guy.
Listen, Jordan is my favorite Eagle. But he does have a potty mouth. He's a bad influence on the kids.
He's
one of those guys that he doesn't know how to use eloquent words when he talks. He likes to use curse words when he's on the air, when he's talking to the media. He's just an unkept individual.
An unkept individual?
Yes. Look at him.
That's not a way to welcome a guest into our booth.
He's going in our refrigerator, taking our stuff. He didn't ask anybody. You can't take him anywhere.
Hugh has domain over that fridge, Jordan. You got to ask him first before you take anything out of there.
To be fair, I thought we were partners this year. I guess I was wrong.
Oh, no. That's my guy. He's my favorite Eagle, man, because he's unapologetically him.
Jordan Mailata, Eagles left tackle, joining us now. Tom Kelly, Hugh Douglas. This is the Midday Show. Jordan, how was practice today, man?
Oh, mate, it was a good one. Not steamy. I think it was just everything. So the amount of reps, everything just kind of added up, and mate, just sweated a bunch.
Yeah,
I just felt so depleted out there, and I thought I did a great job yesterday of hydrating.
Is it hard to kind of work back into it? I mean, you've been off for, what, 5 months here since February? How hard is it to get back in the flow of everything?
There's only so much cardio you can do, man, to be honest. There's nothing like football shape. Uncle will tell you that.
Yeah.
Uncle will tell you that.
I caught it straight.
The OG over here.
I'm just saying, football shape is nothing like it.
No, it's not.
That's the only way you can get conditioned is just being out here on the paddock and just giving it your all.
That's a new one.
That's what I call it. You've never heard of the paddock?
No, I have never heard of the paddock.
What about the barn?
The barn?
The barn.
Nah, that's a good one, too. Now, this is the question I have for you, because you guys are laser focused. So you got your rings Friday, right? Friday?
Yeah.
So when did the mindset flip for you?
It flipped probably 2 weeks, maybe less than that, after
before
the Super Bowl.
Before you got the ring, it flipped?
Yep.
I'm curious, because I've never experienced that, right? Those rings are insanely huge, and they're beautiful. And to have that, and then like get that on a Friday and go to camp Wednesday. You telling me you were already in the mindset that you were getting ready for the next season?
OTAs, we all came back week one OTAs, and we had the same mission, the same mindset. That's where that mentality comes from. And then we drill it every week in OTAs, and then you believe it.
So this is what I think from my assessment. I heard you speak yesterday, and
did you read the subtitles?
I did not. No, I like
did.
A couple things.
You definitely read the subtitles.
Let me tell you a couple things that you said they had to bleep out because you were the potty. You was the potty mouth.
Sorry,
you did
was,
the potty mouth, but it's okay. You're being you. But my question to you is, when Jalen said what he did, he put the ring on. Are you guys chasing greatness? Like, do you realize that when you look at your team? And the way that it's been put together, all of you guys are in your prime. Like, when you look at all the stars that you have, the offensive line and everybody, you guys are in your prime. And, you know, I know you don't like to use the R word or anything like that.
What's the R word?
You said you told everybody yesterday not to use the word. So I'm not going to use it. But so the word that I'm going to use is chasing greatness. Yeah.
That is a mentality that I always had because of Lane Johnson, and it just carries on over. That's the culture. That's how you see it. I guess that's a great way of putting it. Yes, we are chasing greatness.
Yeah, because you didn't want to. You told everybody yesterday not to use the R word.
Always.
Or you can't say back to back either. Can't say back to back.
Yeah, that's for like fans.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Fans and ex-players, you know, like.
And my mic just went dead. I did something. My mic just went
dead. George, to follow up on that a little bit here. Obviously, you're a guy. You've been around a little bit of time now. But how important is it to get that message across to some of the younger guys in the league who haven't, you know, been around as much to kind of have that mindset? Is it every year is, you know, unto itself?
I'll be honest, I couldn't hear anything about the question because all I could hear was Uncle saying, "My mic's cut out. I can't. Can you guys hear me?"
My bad, because I lost my headphones. But I mean, since y'all can hear me, it don't make no difference.
But it's easy. It's easy because I had that locker room coming in with Jason Kelce, BG, Fletcher Cox, even go down the list from 2018. We can go back to even when Carson was here, you know?
Yep.
So, like, those guys had that same mentality of chasing greatness. And for me, it was
easy. You can
keep
that, by the way. You can use that.
I'll be honest. I was using it way before you.
Okay.
We can roll the tape back, baby.
Yeah, okay. Well, yeah,
chasing greatness, because that's what I call Lane. When people say that I'm the greatest tackle in the league, I say, nah, you can't tell me that. Because the greatest tackle. Exactly. I'm all right. Because the greatest tackle in the league is Lane Johnson. And until I can be better than Lane Johnson, then I'll be the greatest tackle in the league.
Y'all both pretty formidable.
Yeah, but I'm not the greatest tackle in the league. It's Lane Johnson, and I call that chasing greatness.
I think we can agree that you're both great.
I'm right. He has no idea how hard Lane works and sacrifices for this team.
There you go. But, Jordan, one of the other things I wanted to ask you about, there's that epic mic'd up moment during the Super Bowl where you get Jalen in his face after he throws a touchdown to Devontae.
Yeah.
Obviously, Jalen's talked about all the time. There's this list. There's that list. Does it bother you the way Jalen gets talked about in the media sometimes?
It does, but then it doesn't, because I'm just like, they don't know. They're not here. Couldn't give a damn. But it does. It does bother me the way people can just say that comfortably.
Yeah.
Yeah. How can people just say that so, like, hi?
Yeah.
So easy.
Yeah.
And at that point, you're just like, well, nothing I could do. They're not here. They're not in this building. We don't care. Keep it pushing.
And you know what the worst part about that is? I hear a lot of people that say they used to play the game and know how hard it is to play that position. Mm. I mean, everybody's entitled to an opinion. That's the way I feel about it.
You can name names if you want. I feel like that's what you're trying to do.
No, I'm not. But it's one of those things where it's like, I respect everybody's opinion. It doesn't have to jive with mine. But when you hear it, it's always interesting when you look at, like, pundits that used to be, you know, my contemporaries that do it, and you're like, People tend to forget when they crack the mic. They tend to forget certain things. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's true. But it does bother us. I'll say us, but that's the beauty of the way it starts head down. It's team focused. It's block all the noise, block all the white noise. And as monotonous as it gets,
because it gets monotonous, it just becomes routine to keep it pushing.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It makes a lot of sense.
Absolutely. And another thing I wanted to ask you about, Jordan, just as you're playing last season, and last season, I know we're looking at this year, but as an offensive lineman, how fun was it to watch what Saquon Barkley was able to do last year and watch him, you know, just break games open time and time again?
Man, that was truly a special season. To be able to witness greatness. And, you know, it's still crazy that Saquon's an Eagle. Still think about it. Even this year, rolling up to OTAs, it's like, oh, yeah, that's right. He's on our team.
It's pretty nice seeing him
it's
out there,
nice,
isn't
man.
It?
And, man, I was incredibly lucky to be a part of, you know, some greatness like that and be a part of history, too. So just incredibly thankful he's on our team.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
He makes our lives easier, that's for sure.
Definitely. And one more here for you, Jordan. But you talked about Lane Johnson and how influential he has been for you. Jeff Stoutland's become kind of like a cult-like figure here in Philadelphia as far as this guy's reputation and what he's been able to do. Just how much has Jeff Stoutland meant to you, and how much does he mean to this organization?
It's hard to put it in words. Man, he I love Stouty, man. I see him like my dad. You know, my dad's not here. He's in Australia, and every time when he was teaching me when I was a young pup, I would just see the similarities, and so over time he just became like a father figure to me, and I love and respect that man so much, like he is my father.
Yeah, well, yeah. It's an awesome story, man. I mean, you coming over and not having all that kind of football experience, and I mean, Jeff Stoutland, he's been here over a decade now. Yeah. Incredible stuff. So, but
he means a lot to these people. There is a cult out there. There is a cult out there.
Yeah,
I've seen it. I've heard it.
Everybody loves Jeff Stoutland. But Jordan Mailata giving us a few minutes after practice. Thanks for coming on, man. Thanks for tolerating Hugh. We appreciate
it. Hugh's my favorite person. Oh, there we go. I finally gave up the answer. Shoot.
Love you too, man.
Oh, love you too, Uncle.
Well, there you go. Jordan Mailata joining us for a few minutes. Thank you to Jordan. We'll come back and obviously talk about practice, talk about everything going on. Elliot Shore Parks will join us in the 12 o'clock hour as well. Tom Kelly in for Joe Giglio. This is the Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.